Guests here this morning, it is George Christensen as well as Rob Nury here to talk from the University of Baribou-Sauk County. So guys, thanks for joining.
Thanks. Good morning.
And we want to chat a little bit this morning about for an event coming up, but also just help educate everyone a little bit about cultural landscapes. It's some of your guys' focus and your expertise, so we want to learn a little bit more about that. Can you explain as we get started? We'll start with Rob. Oh, you're pointing at each other. So we'll start with Rob Nury here, talking about just cultural landscapes in general, what they are, and things like that.
So. Well, both George and I work with particularly the people who are here prior to Europeans.
Okay.
Europeans first show up in this area as early as 200 years ago. The French start showing up. But there were people who lived on this landscape and left their remains on the landscape, left their monuments on the landscape for thousands of years before that. And that's part of our fascination, is helping people understand that we have this long interaction with this landscape. And it isn't just a physical landscape. It isn't just the bluffs at Devil's Lake or the dells at Wisconsin Dells. But it is these interactions that humans have had with the land and what they have left behind that help us understand who those people were, how they interacted with the landscape. In many ways, that was very similar to the way we interact with the landscape. Mm-hmm. They had to travel. They left trails. They camped. They lived places. They left those remains. And they also, as we make monuments, the native peoples who lived here made monuments, and the most significant of those are the effigy mounds that were created roughly 1,000 years ago by the native peoples who lived in this area. And that's what really fascinates me.
And as we see these monuments on the landscape, they become part of our collective conscious. And I like that part of it. We become integrated and part of this world as well. And so I think that's very important to understand as well.
Fantastic. And yeah, you referenced the F&G mounds. And when I first moved here to Baribou about a year and a half ago, I saw someone talked about Man Mound, the F&G mound, and I started doing some research on it. And I was shocked how many were around this area, some preserved, some that weren't preserved at this point. But can you just explain a little bit what exactly an F&G mound is? Either one of you.
Either one. Well, an F&G mound is a humanly made construct. It is composed of earth,
okay.
And by definition, it's typically in the shape of something that we can recognize as an animal or as a person. There are some that will include the round mounds and the long straight line mounds, what we call linear mounds, as being effigy mounds too. But typically we stick to the more traditional definition that it has to look something like an animal. So okay. If you've been to Devil's Lake, if you've been along the South Shore, there's a very large mound there shaped like a bird that has sort of a split tail. Certainly man mound in the shape of a human. On the North Shore, Devil's Lake, again, these are all kind of publicly accessible mounds. There's a mound that even looks a little bit like a dog or a canine of some kind. So you can kind of get the idea. And typically, they're burial mounds.
Okay.
Typically, they do, in fact, what our current research tells us is that over 90% of those mounds actually do contain at least one burial, sometimes a second one, in rare situations, a number of burials. But they are burial mounds, and they are typically in the shape of animals.
Gotcha.
In terms of numbers, here in Sauk County, there were probably somewhere between 200 and 300 effigy mounds that were created. Now, there were many more conical and linear mounds, but during this time period of about 400 years when effigy mounds were made, there were about 200 to 300 of them made. Of those, we know of about 30 that remain. So in this case, some 90% of those mounds have been destroyed, or I like to use the word effaced, because often there is still remnant in the soil of where that mound was, if it was in an agricultural field, let's say. So they haven't been destroyed entirely. But it's why preserving these mounds that remain is so important, because we have a very small sample size to understand the story that the native peoples were telling in creating these monuments.
Fantastic. And once again, we're joined here this morning by George Christensen. He is the UW Baribou-Sauk County Senior Lector of American Indian Studies, and also Rob Nury as well. He now you actually care for Man Mound and help preserve that area and help it basically make it an attraction for people to come check out.
Yeah, I have the pleasure of being the caretaker of that site.
Okay.
It's an interesting site for lots of reasons. It's mm-hmm. the only human-shaped effigy mound that we still know of
wow.
in the world.
Wow.
Effigy mounds, we should add, this culture of effigy mound builders. There are other cultures that made things that were effigies, which okay. just means in the form of. But specifically, there was this group of peoples over a period of about 400 years, centered on about the year 1000, who created effigy mounds in the southern half of Wisconsin, a little bit into Illinois, a little bit into Iowa, a little bit into Minnesota. That's it. So they're just right here. The man mound is the only human-shaped mound that survives of perhaps a dozen that were recorded at one time or another. And it was the very first effigy mound to be preserved, to be acquired specifically to preserve it. And that was done 108 years ago.
Wow.
So it now is managed as a county park. It's on Man Mound Road, about 4 miles east of Madison or of Baraboo.
Okay.
And I have the pleasure of taking care of it.
Fantastic. Okay. And what if somebody has never been out there before, or maybe has just driven by there and never stopped to enjoy it, what can they expect if they head out there? What will they see?
Well, you will see this mound. The mm-hmm. the full mound was 214 feet from head to toe.
Okay.
Unfortunately, soon after it was first measured in 1859 by a local antiquarian by the name of William Canfield, Man Mound Road was put through.
Okay.
And sadly, we often name roads for the things that they destroy. In this case, the Man Mound Road chopped the man mound off at the knees.
Okay.
As part of our 100th anniversary of the preservation of this back 8 years ago, we actually started painting right on the road where the legs used to be, and the farmer who owns the land on the north side of the road allows us to mark where the feet were. So you can now see the full extent of the man mound, even though the northern quarter of it has been destroyed. What you see is a fairly... I want to say not obvious. This is a mound of earth. It mm-hmm. is not huge, but it is long. It is very hard to see from the ground. It's why when we do events, I bring a ladder up there so people can get up and see it. We also have, as part of the interpretive panel out there, photographs from the air and diagrams so you can see what this thing looks like. We have, for the last 8 years, stopped mowing the surface of the mound, in part to protect the mound from potentially being damaged by mowers, but also to be a little bit more respectful to what the surface of that is. So in the summer, it gets to be a foot or so high with native vegetation okay. that we're working on. But it is a very moving place to be. It is, as George mentioned, undoubtedly a burial site. But it is more than that. It is this artistic creation that was made by peoples 1,000 years ago. It is a monument to the culture of the peoples who lived on this land, this very same land that we live on 1,000 years ago.
Well,
I would suggest if you really want to experience it, the best thing to do is you can't really see it very well if you're driving past it.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to do is there's a little parking lot there, is to pull off, park your car, stay on the gravel, of course, and then as you go to the right, you'll see some signage, and just take some time to go out and kind of explore. I mean, walk around it. We suggest that people don't walk on it, and that's just kind of a respect thing, and
yep.
also to sort of minimize damage. But you don't need to go on top of it to get a good feel for this mound. I would suggest going there a couple times over the course of a year, actually. See how the light plays on it. See what it looks like with snow on it. Try early in the morning, mid-afternoon, or, late evening. I mean, you can get by with one visit, but, why limit yourself? That's the way
absolutely.
I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really fascinating to learn about this. Once again, we're joined this morning by George Christensen as well as Rob Nury. And Rob has been talking about Man Mound Park coming up. And in addition to it being out there, it did recently just receive National Historic Landmark status. What does that mean for the land?
Well, it's a very significant designation.
Mm-hmm.
It is done by the National Park Service and by the Secretary of the Interior. There are only 43 places in all of Wisconsin that have National Historic Landmark status. These are all privately or publicly owned. They are not owned by the National Park Service, so this didn't become a national park because of this designation. But what it does do is it says this place is, using the terminology of the law, it is a place that is significant in telling the story and interpreting the story and preserving the story of the history of this country. in this case, if you will, the prehistory before the written history.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it doesn't come with buckets of money, but it is a very important designation and one that we hope to use to really encourage more people to be aware of this, as well as all the other effigy mounds. You know, a good friend of ours describes the Man Mound as being the ambassador for all of the effigy mounds, and that's how we really hope to use it, is to say, hey, this place is important to care for, but all of these sites are important to care for.
Well,
yeah, it connects. And, you know, one of the great things about that status is that, you know, it draws attention, and that's an important component. And, you know, once you've sort of gone there, you've engaged in this mound, you get a sense of this place. And this is, again, back to that cultural landscape idea. I mean, this place is a special place in Wisconsin. It's for a lot of people that they call home, and it's been home to people for over 12,000 years in one way or another. And it helps to establish that sense of place. This is our home. We all are part of this. And even though most of us who are listening to this probably did not have ancestors that may have even been involved in the construction, but yet by living with it, by being with it, it becomes part of us. It becomes part of our memories. It's the place that we maybe, had a picnic, or it's a place where we saw something that changed the way we think about the world. So we integrate it into us, and it becomes part of our collective cultural landscape. And that's the power of that designation. It's a nice designation. It's mm-hmm. a formal designation, but it definitely brings focus to it, and that's what we're really interested in.
Great, and we're joined here again this morning by George Christensen as well as Rob Nury, talking about cultural landscapes to start with, also Man Mound Park, the National Historic Landmark status is what we were just discussing, and I'm the type of person who might go on to Google Earth and all of a sudden just get lost looking at random places from above and seeing the sky, you know, the bird's eye view of things like that, and that's why these types of things just fascinate me, because they're all around this area. There's so many different ones around here, and if you go ahead and Google or whatever you want to do and look up Man Mound, you'll see the layout of the full construction of what it looks like from above, and then you'll just keep clicking and looking at all sorts of different ones. It's incredible how many examples are around this area.
And interestingly, there's a new technology called LIDAR that has shown up in the last several years, and it creates a three-dimensional image is what it does. And we've been able to use that to both get a better view of some mounds that we were aware of, but also it is begun to help find mounds that just had never been encountered.
Oh, wow.
These effigy mounds, again, are very subtle on the landscape, so it's very easy to walk over them and not see them. I mean, most effigy mounds only get it, as little as a foot, or as much, if it gets 4 feet above the ground, it's pretty
That's
significant.
Pretty surprising, yeah.
And they tend to be fairly large, so it's possible to walk over them and not even see it.
Yep.
So
yeah, the biggest bird mound, that mound shaped like a bird, was actually has a wingspan. It's a quarter mile long.
Oh wow!
But if you had walked over it, at any given time, you'd only see about a foot or so of it, and you probably wouldn't connect that there was something much more attached to it.
Wow.
So in this case, aerial photography helped to kind of identify that one, but they can be very subtle.
So you were talking about this new technology. Have a number of more mounds been discovered because of this technology, or how's...
Yes.
Okay.
Some mounds that were just people were unaware of, or at least Europeans had been unaware of, or groups. Often effigy mounds occur in groups. The Man Mound is kind of odd that it's singular, and we're finding additional mounds within groups that were known, but it's extra mounds in those groups.
Wow.
One of the things that's real important, and I find myself stumbling over it, is when we say, we knew about. These were created by the native peoples who live on this land. Most likely, they were created by the ancestors of the native peoples who are here today, the Ho-Chunk, perhaps the Menominee, perhaps other groups. Fortunately, the Ho-Chunk have taken the position that they care for these sites. They are part of their collective history.
Okay.
And we have been very fortunate at the Man Mound to have a large involvement with the Ho-Chunk Nation in our efforts to care for that site. And it really is part of our showing respect for the cultures that have been on this land prior to us Europeans showing up 200 years or so ago. And I think that's an important part of the designation. This is only the fourth National Historic Landmark in Wisconsin of those 43, the only the fourth that deals with pre-European folks.
Okay.
So, and I think that's an important piece of what we do, is to recognize that, yeah, there is a long history of people interacting with this landscape, and we need to be respectful of that.
Fantastic. And once again, we're joined here this morning by Rob Nury, as well as George Christensen from UW-Baraboo Sauk County. We're going to take a short break now, and then we'll come back and actually talk about a field school that's coming up this summer for the University of Baraboo Sauk County. So be sure to stick around with that. We'll have more with George and Rob right after this on WRPQ. Back here on WRPQ, and we're still joined here this morning by Rob Nury, as well as George Christensen. George is the UW-Baraboo Sauk County Senior Lector of American Indian Studies, and he's going to talk a little bit about an event coming up, a archaeological field school program this summer.
Yeah, so I wanted to say first that that we have a lot of opportunities mm-hmm. up at the university for people to learn more about this. We teach classes on a fairly regular basis. We alternate every spring between local Wisconsin archaeology classes and North American archaeology classes. And so people should, you know, if they're interested, you know, check it out. It's a very reasonable, inexpensive way to get a lot of knowledge in a very condensed, you know, sort of format. But this summer we're having a very special opportunity. This is something that we've been doing for the last 4 years, we are going to give people an opportunity to get their hands dirty and to actually learn the techniques that archaeologists use to investigate the past. So for the last couple years, we have been working at a site that is west of North Freedom. And we won't be working on sort of the time period of the Effigy Mounds. We'll be working on a period that's probably maybe 3,000, 4,000 years older than that. Time when people were hunting and gathering for a living and you know, using the land in different ways than perhaps the people who built the Effigy Mounds were. But it's 6 weeks if you wanted to take it for college credit. And if you wanted to take it just as part of a continuing education course without credit, you could do that for 6 weeks. But we realize that 6 weeks is a long time for anybody to dedicate, you know, to non-work activities. So we actually have two-week sessions. Okay. So the first 2 weeks starts on May 30th. And at that point, you'd kind of get to know the other students there and learn the techniques. And I suppose if you wanted to stay, we could make some arrangements at that point. But otherwise, we would like people to sort of come into the process in the last 2 weeks. And the last 2 weeks ends on July 7th. So the whole school, 6 weeks, May 30th to July 7th. But you can go the first 2 weeks or the last 2 weeks at obviously for reduced rates. And there's no college credit available for the 2 weeks because mm-hmm. that's more of just a chance to experience this. And we'll go out and we'll excavate. You'll get your hands dirty. You're going to learn some mapping techniques. We're going to go visit, you know, important sites in the area. We'll go to Yellow Thunder's marker, and we'll go to Devil's Lake, and we'll go to Natural Bridge, and you know, we'll see what other things, opportunities rise at that point. But so it's a bit of an opportunity for you to come and experience the past, and actually get your hands into it and touch it, make it, you know, part of your tangible world.
Okay.
So that's the plan, and we'll be working every day during the week from about 8 a.m. until probably about 3 p.m. And as we wind down at the end of it, we'll learn about how to curate things, how we'll, you know, clean them and carefully, and you know, package them and get them ready for analysis. So that will be kind of the last part of the program.
Great. And if somebody's listening here this morning and they think that sounds extremely interesting, they want to do that, what's the best way to get registered?
Two ways. On our website, if you Google the Center for Wisconsin Archaeology, you'll come up with a link, and there's information there, and there's a link to a brochure, and the brochure has a registration form in it. You can also look at, we're on Facebook at the center, again, for the Center for Wisconsin Archaeology, and we'll have kind of postings along the way that, you know, say where we're, you know, where we're at in the process of planning. And then you can actually email me, I have a UWC.edu address, and it's just my first name and last name. It's George Christensen at UWC.edu. And just say you're interested, and I'll make sure I send out a a brochure to you as well.
Fantastic. So that's a great opportunity to help learning so much here about the cultural landscapes, but here's a chance to actually dig in and get to learn it a little hands-on type of way. So,
absolutely.
Fantastic there. And once again, we're joined here this morning by George Christensen. He is the senior lector of American Indian Studies, Anthropology, as well as Sociology for the UW-Baraboo Sauk County. And Rob Nury also here. And we talked about the upcoming events for the UW-Baraboo Sauk County. What other events are coming up for Man Mound, different things?
The Man Mound in particular, because we've gotten this new designation as a National Historic Landmark, yep. On July the 29th, we're going to have an event at the Man Mound to kind of officially unveil the new brass plaque that comes with that.
Okay.
And a whole lot of learning experiences that day. We're bringing in exhibitors from other sites that are National Historic Landmarks, other sites that deal with Native American sites. So it should be a really good learning experience. There'll be talks and lectures and some walks that day at the site. We're also looking at doing an event on the 20th of May, which is the middle of Archaeology Month. Archaeology Month is celebrated in May every year here. It'll be a smaller event focusing on not just the Man Mound, but also other local effigy mound sites. We're kind of in the middle of a node of effigy mound sites that were here between Wisconsin Dells and down to Prairie du Sac and over to Portage, kind of that point in the Wisconsin River. So that event will be coming up. We're also looking at doing an event in October that we're still working on planning of. All these are done to one degree or another through the Sauk County Historical Society. Okay. They are the owners of that site. It was originally purchased by Sauk County Historical Society, Wisconsin Archaeological Society, and Wisconsin Federation of Women's Clubs got together to buy the site originally, but the ownership is now fully with Sauk County Historical Society, and they work with the County Parks Department to actually manage the site.
Okay.
So those are the
So if somebody wanted to learn more about it or see a schedule of what's coming up, the best way to be go to the
Sauk County Historical Societies.
Okay, yep. Perfect. Go and check them out there. So wonderful. Once again, joined here, Rob Nury and George Christensen. Very enlightening morning here, talking about these different FNG mounds around here. Also a great opportunity to get out there in the field and to get your hands dirty a bit. Both you guys, if anyone just tuned in, Rob, let's talk just a little bit about Man Mound once again, just kind of maybe a quick rally cry to why people should go out there and take in that mound.
Because it is a spectacular monument created by the peoples who lived here 1,000 years ago. Wow. It is a work of art, mm-hmm. 214 feet from head to toe. It is just marvelous to see. And as George mentioned earlier, go there more than once. Mm-hmm. Just in the last week, it has changed a great deal. Sometime in the next month or so, we'll be burning the vegetation off the mound. At that point, it looks entirely different. I'm fortunate to live about a quarter mile away, and I'm there just about every day for a little while. And every day I'm there, it's different.
Wow.
So come take a look.
And George, I want to give you one more chance to just mention a quick high level about the field school that's coming up and
right.
then how people can get registered.
Sure. So May 30th to July 7th,
okay.
Put it on your calendars.
Yes.
Hope to see you out there. The best way to get registered is to check our website out, Center for Wisconsin Archaeology. There's a link there, and you can download a brochure that has a registration form on it. You could call Continuing Education at UW-Baraboo Sauk County, too, or you can email me, and my email is on the website, and it is on our Facebook page, Center for Wisconsin Archaeology.
Fantastic. So once again, George Christensen as well as Rob Nury here this morning. Anything you guys want to hit on before we wrap up today?
We live in a fascinating cultural landscape, and part of that is, you know, things like the Ringling Theater and all these wonderful things we have in this area, but part of our history is what happened before us European settlers got here, and we need to appreciate and respect that.
Yeah, and I would just add to that, you know, again, tapping into that idea, we live in this amazing place, and I think sometimes we forget that we live in such an amazing place. So go out, you know, go out there and investigate. Go see the things around you that help us, you know, call this place home.
Absolutely. Well, thank you both so much for joining us here this morning. And if you missed any part of this interview or want to listen back to it, we'll have it up on the website, also on UW's Facebook page. It'll be coming up here in just a probably towards the afternoon. It'll be posted on there so you can listen back to the recording of the show. So, Rob and George, thank you so much for joining this morning.
Thanks, Mike.